Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Oh, yeah. Let's bring the prophets. Man, what a great summer. VBS is starting Friday night with the young adults on our new series on prophets. We just have a summer jump, not a summer slump. I thought that was a good line. I got nothing? Nothing? No support on that line? Okay, whatever. Well, the last few weeks we've been in the book of Galatians, studying this New Testament letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to churches in the region called Galatia. And the big picture is Paul had gone, taught the scripture, taught the gospel, and people got saved and started a church, several churches around Galatia. And then Paul went on and continued his apostolic ministry in the next location that the Lord had led him. And within a year after he left, religious people came, traditional religion, we might call them denominational or traditional churches. They were actually Jewish teachers from the Jewish religion. And they said, well, it's good that you believe in Jesus, but you also need to follow these laws. And so they would teach on circumcision in various parts. And it's funny, it's impossible to follow all the law, which means the law was designed to show you can't follow the law. It's just too complex. And no matter how hard you tried, you always fell short. That was the whole point of the law, to show you really need a Savior. And then the Savior came, Jesus, the Messiah. So here now these Christians are trying to follow parts of the law, which makes no sense because you can't follow it all, and add to what the apostle had taught them about Jesus. So he writes this letter and he says, what happened to you? Who has bewitched you? Who put a spell on you that you would give up your relationship with Jesus to follow these religious traditions? And Paul was upset. You know, he was just ticked off about this whole issue. So now we're to chapter 5 and 6. Today I'm going to give a quick overview of these chapters. And these are really the practical application of the 4 previous chapters, right? If you believe Galatians 1, 2, 3, 4, then here's how you live. Here's what you do with it. And so we're going to dive in and get some perspective here. You know, church, oftentimes religion is a cover for a lack of real relationship with the Lord. That's an important thought to remember. Religion can be a cover. It can be an image. It can be an outward expression that has no heart, that just covers up our lack of true faith. You know, it's kind of like watching the movie about the gangster that prays and goes to church. Bruh, you a gangster, and going to church does not cover your sin. You need the Lord. You need to get born again. You need a real relationship. And a lot of people go to church without any real desire to walk with Jesus. It's not in their mind. They don't even think about it. They're just going to church because that's what we do, because that's our tradition, or that's our family, or that's our way. So Paul calls religion and legalism, or that following of traditions, witchcraft, bondage, and falling from grace. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? He says, if you are just going through the motions, you know all the church signs and codes and passwords and ways, But you're not really connecting with Jesus and trusting Jesus day by day, then you're involved with witchcraft and legalism and bondage, and you have fallen from grace. Or maybe you never knew grace, in which case you can't fall from grace. So you hear me say it in different ways at different times. We do not want to be religious people. We don't want to come across with an image of being, you know, churchy. There's a difference between churchins and Christians, right? I'm making up words now. You're a good churchin, okay, but are you a good Christian? And we want to be Christians, which is Christ-like, which is connecting with Jesus and walking with Jesus. In Galatians 5:1, the apostle said, "Stand fast in the liberty, the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So he's saying to people who came out of religion and got saved and became Christians, and then they went back into it because they got deceived and manipulated, and he said, stand fast. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let them manipulate you. Don't go back into that junk. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ hath made you free. Why would you have to stand fast? Well, because people around you are pulling on you to be religious, to go back to the traditions, to go back to this image that's not real, but also your flesh and the devil is pulling on you. You know, flesh is a challenge, because in your flesh, and as long as we live on the earth, we got to deal with flesh. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, flesh is a problem. It makes you eat too much, makes you try to be late, want to be lazy, make you sin, make you do foolish things. Your flesh will make you do something, and 1 second later, you're embarrassed by it. I think the Lord just spoke that to a couple of you brothers. You get on some website, you do some foolish things, and a moment later, you're embarrassed by it. That's flesh. Flesh will take you down and then condemn you for going down. Right? The devil uses our flesh, that sin nature, that human nature. And so it's always an issue. And you know what? You can be 70 years old and that flesh will take you out. 70 years old and you out having an affair. Bruh, you need Viagra to have an affair. Stop. Stop following your flesh. 70 years old, you're on some porn site thinking it's cool. Really? Have you not figured this out? After 70 years? So you got to stand fast. You got to. I think of it like when I'm here, it's pretty easy to stand, right? I'm solid as flat. It's easy. But when I was on Mount Rainier, above 12,000 feet, you're on the glacier, slippery, hard, wind is blowing. You need crampons, you need an ice axe, you gotta stand fast, or you'll slip, you'll fall, it could be bad. Stand fast in the liberty, lest the enemy blow you off your mountain, lest your flesh take you out of the race, right? Stand fast in the liberty. So you have to pay attention. Don't be foolish. Pay attention. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now, this is a powerful statement, because think of what they did to be circumcised. And many of these guys were Gentiles, so they didn't grow up with this. They just went to church. They got saved and went to church, one of these Galatian churches. And then these guys come in and say, oh, if you're a Christian, you got to be circumcised to follow Jesus. You know, Jewish tradition. Okay? Now, if you don't know what circumcision is, you should Google it. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I want you to think for a minute, right? Nowadays, circumcision at the doctor's office, sterile tools, right? Numbing medication, nice and clean, nice and neat, no big deal. Babies go through it all the time. Not in that day. These guys are in church. The preacher's up here talking about circumcision. And then he says, now, in the back of the church here, Brother Bob's going to be doing circumcisions today. And Brother Bob whips out his buck knife and says, make a line, boys. Now, think about that. And the guys walk out, and you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, but you know what I'm saying. Now, Paul writes a letter, and he says, what the heck are you guys doing? This is stupid. Circumcision means nothing to God. And the guys are like, what? What? I went through all that. I'm still trying to recover. And I didn't need to do that. Right? Like, see the picture here. This is tragic that people come with their tradition, with their religion, with their man-made stuff. Okay, pick your group. Denominations. I don't want to name names because that's not the point. But I do want to, but I'm not going to. But any of these groups that make up these funny things on how you should be baptized or how you should take communion or what you should do or where you should go and all this man-made stuff, the apostle says it means nothing. Now, on the other hand, you and I can't get proud because we've never done that. We're like, well, thank God I don't do that stuff. I've always been clean before the Lord. Now, we all got our issues. So he said, circumcision, non-circumcision, meaningless. What means something is faith working through love. That's what's important. That's what we want to focus on. Faith working through love. Amen? Okay, look at the Amplified Bible. Let's read it in the Amplified, Galatians 5:6. If we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Only faith, look at these words, activated. I like that. Energized. I like that. Expressed and working through love. I'm not doing it to get a blessing. I'm not doing it to look good. I'm doing it because I love God. I love people. But I'm activated. I'm energized. I'm expressing. And I'm working. My faith is alive and making stuff happen. Right? So many people, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, how do you express that? How's that energized and working in your life? I come to church when I can. And I mean, you know, what do you mean? Okay, I'm trying to tell you that when this relationship with Jesus is real, you're not doing just kind of foolish religious stuff to look good. You really want to change your world and impact lives, and you're activated, energized, expressing, and working because you love God and you love people. So that's the message, and that's the kind of life that we want to live. And I think we could just ask ourselves every now and then, am I activated? Am I energized? Am I expressive? Am I working through the love of God? That's the kind of Christians we want to be. Not brain dead, not mediocre, not avoiding, but engaged and alive. So keep that Galatians 5:6 in mind, and every now and then get your Amplified Bible out or open your Amplified Bible on your phone and read it in that translation. Now, we all tend to get in one ditch or the other. It's kind of the human problem, right? We go one way or then we go the other way, and I guess we're all kind of that way, right? We can fall in one ditch or the other. So some people get all excited about grace, right? And the grace of God and what God through Jesus has done for them, which is great. And so then they say, well, because of grace, I don't need to give. I don't need to serve. I don't want to get involved. I just want to live my life. Leave me alone. Get off my yard. So they use grace as an excuse to do nothing. But then there's other people who are so excited about God and their Christian life, and they're into all the works. And they're giving, and they're doing the classes, and they're doing all the stuff, whatever's going on. And then they say this, God, I deserve to be blessed. Look at everything I've done. Caleb said it earlier, right? What I've done should open the door. No, it's just the key, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. So it's not you. At the same time, we're not going to do nothing. So we find that middle of the road where, yes, I'm saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. However, the Bible also says, if you really have faith, there will be evidence. There will be works. There will be expression. So I'm not going to get in one ditch or the other. I'm going to live in the middle of the road. Look in Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So don't use your grace or your freedom in Christ to be a lazy Christian, to be an uninvolved Christian, to be a Christian that never expresses your faith, right? If the people you work with would be shocked to find out that you're a Christian, that's not good. They should know just by how you act, by how you talk. Your vocabulary is different. Your spirit is different. Your attitude is different. When they find out you're a Christian, they should say, I knew there was something different about you. Now, that doesn't mean they like it, but they should be aware of it. If you hang out with the world and no one can tell any difference, maybe there isn't any difference. So maybe you don't really have what you think you have with the Lord. Grace is not an excuse to do less. Grace actually calls us to do more, right? Because of what Jesus did, I want to give more. I want to serve more. I want to talk about it and tell people about it more, not less. It's a funny thing, though. Again, this flesh, this human nature, we look for excuses that we often look for a way out. So people have said to me, well, you know, because I'm saved by grace, I don't need to tithe. And I agree. No, you don't need to tithe. You should give 20%. Oh, well, they weren't thinking that way, were they? They weren't thinking because of grace, I'll do way more than tithe. Tithe, that's under the law. I have a better covenant built on better promises, saved by grace. How could I give less than a tithe? I'm going to give way over that. But human nature doesn't look for how can I do more. Human nature always looks how can I do less. So if you've been that person that says, well, you know, I'm saved by grace. I don't need to get involved with all those laws. Well, is it love or is it law? Does love cause you to give? Does love cause you to pray and cause you to serve? Okay, well, all the law is fulfilled through the law of love. Can I get an amen right there? Yeah, grace will always lead us to exceed any legal requirements of the Old Testament or of religious traditions. So here's what it is. We have this wonderful gift of walking with the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul's trying to get us to. Stop trying to follow these religious traditions. And many of them, guys, they're just superstitions. For us, it's not a Jewish thing. We don't have these Jewish laws. Most of us would not get hung up. I don't think any of you are worried about getting circumcised. That's funny right there. That was funny. I mean, if you are worried about it, that's okay, whatever. But that's not normally our thing. But you have superstitions. You ever seen somebody when they pray, they hold their cross? Or their, what do you call that? St. Christopher? What is that, a medal or a pendant or a St. Christopher? And they think by holding it, their prayer is more powerful. I got two crosses on right now. I got double power. It's funny. I was thinking about myself the other day. I was praying and I was doing this. When does this become the prayer stance? Well, somewhere in the Middle Ages. But it's not helping. It's not helping. Right? Sometimes we get on our knees when we pray, right? Do you do this at home? You get on your knees in front of your chair? I mean, it's good, but it doesn't make your prayer more powerful. I'm prostrate before the Lord. I read that in the Bible. Daniel got prostrate before the Lord. Okay, well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to sleep in a minute. Right, but we just think these things, like you make the sign, right? If I was in that group, I'd be working on my sign. What is that? These are just superstitions. You've been in the car with the guy, he's got the cross on his bumper, he's got the rosary hanging from the mirror, and he's got a little statue of Jesus on the dashboard. This brother is close to God. Or probably not, because he thinks these things make him spiritual, and they don't. They're just things. I mean, it's okay if you have them, but don't think that they're making you more spiritual or somehow connecting you with the Lord. People bow before statues to pray. And maybe a cross with Jesus hanging on the cross. By the way, you know he's not hanging on the cross, right? I used to have a friend that says, you shouldn't have Jesus on the cross. He got off the cross. If you want something, wear an empty cave, you know, a sign of his resurrection, right? But we do these superstitions, and we think that they're making our prayers more powerful or making us closer to God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but if you do it, make sure you understand. It's just you trying. It doesn't make you more spiritual, right? So if I wear a cross, doesn't mean I'm a Christian. In fact, you've seen people who are obviously not Christians who wear crosses. It's just a fashion thing for them. For us, it may mean something, but it doesn't bring you closer to God or getting in your prayer stance. The funniest thing, I was with a guy, not a Christian guy. He was doing some work around the house, and I noticed he was a little down. And I said, bro, how's it going? Well, him and his wife are going through challenges. He's just struggling with his family. And he starts simulating. And I wanted to say, no, I was just saying hi, you know. But anyway, now I got the whole story. And I said, okay, we're going to pray. And he didn't really know who I was. He was just doing the work. And he said, are you a priest? And I said, well, I would just say I'm a pastor. And, so right away he got spiritual. He started speaking in King James English, right? He got in his prayer pose. And so he's not saved, but he is religious. And that's where many of us get stuck. We see religious people, and they got issues and all kinds of stuff going on in life. And we think, well, they're very spiritual. No, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between following superstitions and having religious customs and actually believing in Jesus and walking in the Spirit, right? So make sure that you don't get deceived. That you don't get tricked, that I've done all these things, Lord. Where's my blessing? It's not how it works, right? Okay, so we're going to, Galatians 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is always the pull. The flesh pulls you to superstition. The flesh pulls you to weird pseudo-spiritual things, not real spiritual things. Some of you think you're close to God because you hear voices. You believe in paranormal activity. And I've heard people say, I'm very spiritual. Okay, but that doesn't mean godly. That doesn't mean you have eternal life. You might be very spiritual because you connect with demons. And your flesh loves demonic activity. It feels good. Your spirit pushes away, but your flesh leans in to demonic activity. So you have to be careful you walk with the Holy Spirit, not demonic spirits, right? And that's what we're trying to get. All of us, we're trying to get to that place where we don't just say, oh, I believe in God. No, we actually walk in the Spirit. Now, when you walk in the Spirit, let me give some practical applications. How do you do? What does that really mean? Okay, number one, there's a sense that the Holy Spirit's presence is guiding you. I'm just going to use that word. I think that's the most common. Romans 8 calls it the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's just a sense. This is, right, maybe you're someplace and you all of a sudden get this sense, God does not want me here. God is saying, leave now. You don't need to explain yourself. You don't need to tell everybody, I heard a voice. And the voice said, get the heck out of here. No. Excuse me, I have to go. Stand up. Exit, stage left. The Holy Spirit is guiding you. Wendy often tells a story when she was a teenager and she was at a school dance, right? And she was out there dancing with the kids and she just, something in her spirit, the Holy Spirit said to her, this is not your place. And she left. And then not long after that, the Holy Spirit said, this is the school you should go to. That's how we met. And not long after that, she said, well, she kind of grew up knowing you're going to be a pastor. So when I said, I think the Holy Spirit wants me to start a church, Wendy said, oh, yeah, he does, because I'm going to be a pastor. Right? So the Holy Spirit is just guiding. Now, we never saw visions. We never heard voices. We never had, you know, fireworks, but just the sense, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you make them, you think the Holy Spirit's guiding you, and you know, it wasn't. But normally, if you're sensitive, he will lead and guide you. Now, here's another way. A scripture or a word from a friend, a pastor, a small group, life group leader, right? Sometimes I've been in circumstances and a scripture comes to mind. And I know the Holy Spirit is bringing me that scripture. He's saying to me, this is where you'll live through this. This is what you need to do in this circumstance. Okay, I got the word. I'm going to stay with that. I'm going to go. Sometimes he gives me a word. I'm like, you got any options? I don't like that one. Right? Because he might give me the word like, through faith and patience, you inherit the promise. I'm like, I hate that scripture. How about that? Suddenly, the Lord did a great work. I want that one. I want that suddenly. I don't want that patience. But you got to take that word. You know, one of the fun things about Friday night with the young adults is Caleb and the guest preachers, they're bringing words to the young adults about their life and about God's call and about God's will. And it's pretty amazing, some of the things that are happening. I just love it when youngsters, young people begin to realize that God wants to lead and guide them and wants to help them. Okay, number three. Number one, the sense of his presence. Number two, a scripture or a word. Number three, dreams or visions. Now, this hasn't been a big way for me to be led, but I know there are some of you here, and that's how God would lead you, with dreams or with visions. Now, if you wake up from a dream and you have no idea what it means, don't worry about it. It just means you ate something bad the night before. Right? Let it go. Don't create stuff from God. Well, I was driving to work and all the lights were green. I know God. No. Thank the Lord they're green. Just move on. Don't get superstitious. But if you get a dream and you realize, okay, God's saying this to me, or a vision where you just see something, your company, your family, whatever it is, okay, that's good. Go with that. The Holy Spirit's trying to guide you. If you don't understand it, it's probably not the Holy Spirit, because he knows how to talk to you so that you will understand it. Number four, I like strong desires. 50 years I've had the same desire. The Bible said God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, sometimes you have a desire and it goes away in a week. And then you're like, oh, I want to try something else. But strong desires that don't go away, probably the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. So our goal is to not be superstitious, not be religious, not be weird, but to follow the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit, to follow Jesus every day, all the time, right? One of the guys on the update in the young adult service, he said, Jesus did not die so you could come to church once a week. He wants to walk with you 7 days a week, 24/7. Come on, give me an amen right there. Okay. All right, we got to hurry. You got to listen fast, because running out of time here. Galatians 5, verse 19. So here's the challenge. I've been saying to you in many ways, here's the challenge. Your flesh never goes away. You're going to deal with flesh until you leave the earth. That's the great thing. When you die, you get rid of your flesh. Right? You don't have to deal with that flesh once you've entered into the heavenly realm. But until then, doesn't matter. Young, old, you got flesh. How come old people don't get sweeter? I mean, some do, but most, no. You would think, you know, I'm 71. I should just be nice. Just be sweet. Just be kind to everybody. Just chill out, bro. Just be understanding. I try to be all of those things. But have you ever met an old person who's just grumpy? Like, bro, you've been alive for 70 years, and the result of your 70 years is you got a funky attitude, and you mad at the world, and you flipping people off, and you going crazy. Bro, 70 years and you're still stupid. That's flesh. Flesh always takes you to the wrong thing. So look in Galatians 5:19. The work of the flesh is evident. In other words, you know this. Paul said, I don't have to tell you. But then it's funny, he did tell them. Okay, now just in case you're not sure, here's your flesh, adultery. Do we need to define that? Adultery. If you're having sex with someone you're not married to, that's adultery. I got no amens on that. Everybody's like, okay, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Fornication. What's fornication? That's all your sexual activity that is not marriage. Your porn sites, your fantasies, your toys, your sex before marriage. Getting tied up in here now. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. What's idolatry? When your stuff is more important than the Lord or your people. You screaming at your wife because she scratched your car. And bro, your car's not that cool. And you yelling at your wife over a scratch on your car. That's idolatry. Your stuff is more important. The kid spilled ice cream on your couch and you are losing your mind. Yelling, stomping around, worried about your couch. Okay, first of all, thank God you have a kid that eats ice cream. Thank God you have ice cream. Thank God you have a couch. And by the way, you got that couch at IKEA. It's disposable. Get a new one every year. The kids are more important. Okay, we should teach our kids to be careful and be clean. I get that, and we do that. But some of us just get idolatrous with our stuff. Okay, jealousy. Oh, I skipped some. Sorcery. That's your Ouija board, your tarot cards, your horrible scope. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. This is basically everybody on X ranting. I want to believe most of that on online hate comes from bots, right? I want to believe that. Are people that contentious, hateful, outbursts of wrath? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revel. That's all flesh. Now, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It means you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in your flesh. And if you live in the flesh, it brings bad results. Yeah, but Pastor, I love the Lord. I know you love the Lord, but you let your flesh run your life. So then in verse 22, Paul said, the work of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. There's where we want to live. How do you know you're a spiritual person? You love people. You keep the joy. You keep the peace. You stay patient. You're long-suffering. You follow those guidelines that make you like Jesus, right? You don't stomp around yelling, losing your cool, losing your emotions, and losing your mind. You walk in the Spirit. That's what it means. You bring forth fruit. You could think of it like this. This is one fruit manifested in all these ways. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll do all these things. Love, and joy, and peace, and gentleness, and so forth. All right, I'm going to close with this thought from chapter 6. Verse 7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You can come to church, you can wear your cross, you can have a rosary in your car, but God sees what seed you sow. The words you speak, things you give, the love you share, you always reap what you sow. And so you and I, let's have that generous spirit, that godly spirit comes out in our words, comes out in our giving, comes out in our caring and loving. That's following Jesus. That's being like him. We don't want to be religious people. We want to be spiritual people. We don't want to just have the image that we're Christians, we really want to be Christ-like. And that's our goal. That's our motivation for everything that we do. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, Connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.